Who among us hasn't looked at pets and thought, what are they thinking? Or, for that matter, are they thinking about anything at all? Well, a growing body of work is revealing how animals understand the world around them and how they problem solve, and also the complexity of their powers of communication and their ability to express emotion. A three-part NOVA series called Inside Animal Minds explores recent breakthroughs in the study of animal cognition. And joining us are Dr. Diana Rees, a cognitive psychologist, marine mammal scientist, professor in the Department of Psychology at Hunter College, and Animal Behavior and Comparative Psychology Program at the Graduate Center CUNY, and Julia Court, who, as senior producer for NOVA, has worked on a number of acclaimed series, including The Fabric of the Cosmos and The Elegant Universe with Brian Greene. And I'm very pleased to welcome them both to our show. Hi.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi.
Until fairly recently, wasn't it assumed that other animals weren't very smart because they have smaller brains?
I think we've assumed for a long time that animals are very different than us, that they don't think. I mean, historically, we thought we were the only thinking creatures, but we are not alone.
And was it Jane Goodall who was the first to record that chimpanzees use tools? Before then, did we know that any animals use tools other than humans?
We used to think we were alone as a symbol, tool-using species.
I think that actually we have known for a while that other animals use tools. But what Jane Goodall saw was not only tool use, but making tools. That's really unusual. And in the series, we look at not only chimps make tools, but crows make tools. And that was a big surprise.
It's making tools to solve a problem that would not be solvable if you didn't have the tool.
Right, and making the tool in such a way that it works for that very problem.
Well, also, I never thought of an octopus as being particularly smart. I knew they had eight arms or legs.
Oh, octopus are amazing. In the show, we see how this one octopus picks up a coconut shell and actually uses it as a hiding place and a protection. Octopus are mollusks. They're related to clams, so you couldn't be further apart from humans.
We're not talking about mammals here.
That's right.
Some of the higher animals.
That's right.
But perhaps the most startling were the experiments involving birds.
Yes, absolutely. So
birds are the descendants of dinosaurs, so they got to even be more ancient.
That's right. And when you look at these crows who, you know, compared to us, their brains are teeny tiny. But it's all about relative size, you know, relative to body size and relative to the size of brain that you would need to run your body. And when you look at it in that way, the crow's brain is actually comparable to a chimpanzee's brain. And these New Caledonian crows were just spectacular, the way they could solve problems.
And there was this crow named 007.
Right.
Who was given a really complicated problem, a number of complicated problems to solve.
Yes. They're giving these crows multi-step challenges. And so the crows have evolved in nature. They're using tools in a spectacular way. Their beaks have evolved to hold sticks, and they make these pointed sticks to spear grubs in trees. And so then the multi-step test, they had to use a whole series of tools, one after another, in one specific order to get the little prize, the little piece of meat.
Diana, you're a scientist. Why ask them to solve tasks that wouldn't be in their lives in nature?
Well, in the case of Caledonian crows, they are tool users, but what they've done is they've asked them to solve new problems to see if they're innovative, if they're flexible in their behavior, which is, again, a hallmark of what we call intelligent behavior.
And one of the most startling experiments is a crow solves something that takes 8 steps, and then they alter it to just 3 steps, and the crow doesn't even bother with the first 5 steps. It goes right to step number 6.
Yeah. What's interesting,
the sort of thing a human might not even notice.
Well, you know, what's so interesting is that you see that they can also store information from past knowledge and, you know, their past knowledge and use it again. That's important to have that kind of memory and use it again.
And that there's some kind of recognition, some level of understanding of cause and effect. You know, there's this scene with these jays where they have to get a worm that's floating in a tube of water. They can't reach it with their beak. And they figure out to put rocks in it that will raise the level of the water, and then they can reach the worm.
So the question is, is there a difference between animal behavior that's learned and behavior that's instinctual? And when they put that those rocks into the water to get their prey, is that something that's neither instinctual nor learned?
Well, the idea is that this is not instinctual. The way the scientists set this problem up is it's a new problem. What will they do with it? It's not something they normally do. So instinctual behavior is hardwired. You don't have to learn. And when we give these animals these unusual problems, we see how their mind works. What do they do when confronted with these challenges?
Well, also in that scene, the scientists did another test where they put sand in the tube, the worm sitting on sand. The bird did not use the rock in that case. So it seemed to have some kind of understanding that it was with a fluid that the rock would have an effect.
Exactly. And again, it gets into the idea of cause and effect and this understanding of that.
Well, when we think of the ability of animals to communicate with others in their species, we usually think of those communications as being for the purpose of mating or giving warning of possible predators. But you also have examples of them communicating to solve problems.
Yeah, well, do you want to talk about – you should talk about dolphins because the
dolphin
communication is –
it's the dolphins and the bees
really
that
remarkable.
Strike me as being among the most fascinating.
Right. Well, with bees, it's interesting because what bees do is they'll do a very specific waggle dance where they can actually communicate the location, the distance and location from the sun of the food source. Now, this has been known for years. This is not a new discovery. In fact, that was the first time we discovered that bees – did a symbolic form of communication. But that seems to be more hardwired. Yet, bees also show the ability to learn and even to anticipate.
Do they have brains?
They do. They have smaller brains.
How big can a bee brain be?
Tiny, tiny, tiny. But you know, it's humbling when you see what a bee can do with that smaller brain, that small number of neurons.
My guests are Dr. Diana Reese and Julia Court. We're talking about a three-part series, fascinating, that's going to be on the PBS Nova series. It's called Inside Animal Minds, and it begins running when?
This Wednesday. It's part of Think Wednesday on PBS, so there's a whole block of programs about animals and evolution, and starting at 8 o'clock here in New York and with Nature, and then Nova's on at 9 with Inside Animal Minds, and then it's followed by a big three-part series called Your Inner Fish. So we've got great 3 weeks coming up on PBS.
Now, we mentioned that bees have teeny brains. Some other animals, larger animals, have larger brains. Is it brain size or the proportion of brain size to the animal involved that is important in understanding how one animal can act more intelligently than the next?
Yeah, well, that's still a mystery. But what we can say is that the bigger brains seem to show the most complex behavior, but it really seems to be brain size relative to body size. You know, if a brain is the same size you'd expect it to be to run a body of a certain size, we see that throughout the animal world. But animals like us, because we're part of the animal world, apes, dolphins, elephants, crows have bigger brains than you'd expect.
Well, in the documentary, there's an amazing problem-solving experiment conducted that pits a crow against two dogs.
Right, and because a dog's brain, in real terms, is much bigger than a crow's brain. And yet when you give them this problem, even though the owner, it's like a puzzle box and they have to get a piece of food out of a ball inside this box, and the dog owner is trying to teach the dog how to do it, and the raven figures it out all by itself. And then when it's time to do it, just swoops in and does it in, I think, in about 10 seconds. It's really remarkable.
Well, I lost a lot of respect for dogs watching this series, but would anyone ever call a raven man's best friend?
But, you know, dogs are really smart in dog ways. And I think we have to think about intelligence relative to the species. So dogs have evolved to do the things that dogs need to do. Crows have certain other kinds of challenges. So I think we have to think of the animals in their environment.
The dogs do have incredible noses. But let's talk about some of your specialties, elephants and dolphins. Elephants, are their brains larger in proportion to their bodies, which are huge to begin with?
Yeah. Elephant brains are about the same size as a chimp brain relative to their body, about 2.5 times the size it needs to be. And they're really brainy animals. These are highly cognitive animals, super social animals, too, like us.
And then, but dolphins are also social a lot more than I ever thought.
Yeah. In fact, dolphins show such high levels of complexity, we think now that they may even show higher social complexity than we see in some of the chimps.
They live in small communities?
They live in communities of maybe 5 to 9 animals made up, and then they join up with other animals. They live in what's called a fission-fusion type society, like us, chimps and elephants, where they come together, band together with new buddies, break apart, form new alliances, and work together cooperatively.
And they have different kinds of relationships, right? Because sometimes they work together and help each other. They babysit for the females babysit for each other. They help hunt together, but they also compete with each other.
That's right. It's this idea of competition and as well as cooperation that marks them. And again, if it sounds familiar, we're like that too.
Well, how close are they? In the 60s, a neuroscientist named John C. Lilly tried to teach dolphins how to speak English. The dolphins didn't learn how to speak English, but neither did the chimps learn how to speak English, although that's still up for grabs, isn't it?
Well, no, the chimps learned a communication code when we went to the right modality, when they were taught sign language, or if they could use keyboards. Yes, they absolutely learned codes. The dolphins can't produce vocalizations, nor could the chimps.
But they also seem to understand or words in a way, don't they?
Yes. There are two studies I was involved in. One of them, my colleague Lou Herman in Hawaii, showed that dolphins could learn to comprehend sentences, sort of gestural sentences. They did amazing job with that. Dolphins, we gave underwater keyboards, and they showed us amazing feats as well, where they started learning almost what I would consider the beginning of language like kids learn it,
like
using
very
this underwater
simple grammar.
Keyboard. Yeah. It wasn't even a grammar with the dolphins. Mm-hmm. With the dolphins in our study, it was learning a symbolic form of communication with sounds. Lou Herman's work really looked at gesture and grammar.
A listener points out that among dogs, some breeds are smarter than others. Do we find that throughout the animal kingdom? Ravens are smarter than
yes.
others.
Yes, I mean, the
crows,
New Caledonian crow dolphins. Is considered probably the smartest among that family of birds, the corvids that we look at. Among dogs, I think border collies are really, really super smart. I don't know. How about dolphins?
Yeah, I think with dolphins, you see these animals have individual personalities. They have different styles. We have to know a lot more about their history of learning before we say this one's smarter than the other. So I think we have to be a little careful.
And also,
about
it's a
that.
Little unfair to say smarter. Yeah. Because, I mean, after all, what we think of as smart are the ones that are most like us. And
right.
that might be a little bit unfair to judge them.
We tend to anthropomorphize anyway,
yeah.
don't we?
You're right.
I mean, one of the fascinating things is what are they doing that we don't even recognize as being intelligent?
Oh, well, right. We also learn from them. It wasn't sonar invented because somebody said, well, the dolphins do a certain thing and we could probably do a human version of
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and we don't even come close to what they're doing. Their sonar is exquisite and we
it's
pale in comparison.
It's almost like another... like eyesight, the detail that they can
yeah, they can identify things. A species of fish by the what is it? It's
the
air bladder?
Internal.
Do is just so with echolocation, they put out a series of pulses or clicks. They get reflected echoes back that they bounce off in the environment. And they get what we think is an acoustic picture of what's out there. And in the case of fish, yeah, we think it's that they're getting information about the swim bladder, but also the size of the fish, the direction the fish are moving in.
And do we know whether they communicate with each other in other areas other than just being able to locate things?
Oh, absolutely.
If a predator comes along?
Yeah, dolphins, most animals, I'd say all animals communicate. It's ubiquitous. It's widespread. Dolphins use vocalizations and a rich variety of sounds.
And elephants also have calls that help them distinguish between friends and strangers?
Apparently, there's some new work that's coming out with that that's fascinating. And they're, again, I think if we think about it, elephants can distinguish different individuals, whether they're familiar, whether they're strange, whether they present a danger. They have to be able to do this to survive.
And they elephants also have that same kind of society, that fission, fusion, changing around, dealing with different individuals, different groups, and yeah. they're very fluid in that way.
So we see that with a number of the higher mammals. Dolphins, I don't know about whales.
Dolphins are like small whales, but dolphin and whale societies, again, show fission, fusion, particularly the bottlenose dolphin and other smaller whales that we call dolphins. Apes show fission, fusion, elephants, and humans.
In putting together the series, Julia, were there any things that really surprised you other than the birds?
Other than the birds. Birds, for me, were really the big surprise. But also, I think even with the dolphins, and especially the, you know, the signature whistles, how they have these, you know, these sounds that they make that really are unique to each individual. That's almost like a name that we would have.
Right. I think
their hunting techniques are fascinating.
Oh, it's incredible. Dolphins are what we call opportunistic foragers or hunters, and they find very specific ways and develop specific ways to get food, and they cooperate with each other. Sometimes they do it individually, but it's really a mind blower when you see what they're doing out there to catch fish.
Yeah, that hunting scene looks so coordinated. It's almost like synchronized swimmers, you know, where one goes and makes the circle of mud and the fish are inside and the other three are just waiting there and all the fish go right into their mouths.
They race in and sort of share the spoils after one captures fish in these mud rings.
I suspect a lot of viewers are going to talk about the series for a long time afterward and respect all sorts of animals they never respected before. My great thanks to both of you for being on our show, Julia Court, senior producer for NOVA, and Dr. Diana Reese. And I'm not going to go through this long description of the things that you do, but the show is fabulous, Inside Animal Minds, on NOVA this Wednesday.
This Wednesday. Thanks.